Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible said in John chapter number 8, verse number 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The Bible said in verse number 3, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone at the woman and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Boy, I like this. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I want to preach on this thought with the help of the Lord for just a little while today. Fallen, but forgiven. Fallen, but forgiven. Father, I love you today. God, you know the need of this service. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us today. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd touch us mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually today. God, I pray, God, that you would help me to edify you today. God, I pray, God, that the saints would find encouragement today. I pray that if there'd be one here lost, God, that they would be saved before it's eternally too late today. I pray, that we get a clear understanding from thy word. And God, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into these verses and preach on the thought of fallen but forgiven for just a little while today. John chapter number 8, these first 11 verses are very interesting to study. Matter of fact, there's a lot of questions that has come out of John chapter number 8. One of the questions is this: what did Jesus write when he stooped down in the sand that day and began to write in the sand? Man, I've read a lot of commentators on this. I've read a lot of books on this. And there's a lot of different things that is said here. Did he begin to write the law of Moses that day? They make reference to that. So did Jesus began to write that. And then we know that he looks up and then he begins to write again in the sand. And when he picks his head back up, everybody is gone but that lady. She's the only one left standing there. And Jesus asked her, where is thine accusers? And she said, of course, they're nowhere to be found. Now, it's not quoting it verbatim, but you know what I'm saying. She says, there's nowhere to be found. So what did he write that day? Here's what I think that maybe he wrote that day. Just a little Barkerology right here. I can't help but to wonder if he didn't start writing all of the sins of those people that was accusing her. And as he begins to write down, this one done this, and this one done that. You know what happened? Boy, they saw their sin begin to be be addressed. As they exited the place, man, they got out of there. I don't know exactly what he wrote, but I do know this. He wrote something that day. I began to think about this. A lot of people talks about this lady and talks about her being caught in the very act of adultery. That is, and can I say this to you? That is the accusation that's here. Do you catch what I'm not saying the Bible's lying by no means. That's what they're accusing her of. Boy, we could preach a lot right there. They could just be wanting to destroy her life. But Jesus takes something that's bad and turns it into something that's good before it's all said and done. If she was caught in the very act of adultery, here's one question I always wanted to ask. If I ever meet these that was her accusers, here's one question I always wanted to ask. What was you doing there? Why was you there? If they've caught her in the very act of adultery, what was they doing there? Why was they messing around? Boy, it's getting quiet right there. Somebody posted a picture yesterday, and it was this great big building on fire, and there was police around it, fire trucks around it, and over here in the corner was a man with a push mower walking. And he said, everybody can learn something from this picture. You know what he was doing? He was just minding his own business, mowing his yard. You know what they needed to be doing that day? They needed to be minding their own business, mowing their own yard. What was they doing there? I don't know what they was doing there. I'm not exactly sure what Jesus wrote that day. But one thing I do know, there is a lady that's very humiliated in front of a lot of people. There's a lady. Now, I am not justifying adultery today. If she was caught in the act of adultery, it is a sin today. Fornication is a sin today. Somebody holler amen right there. It's still wrong. It's still a sin today. But what I am saying, this is a lady that is humiliated. She's brought out. She's took in front of Jesus himself and pointed out for what she has been accused of doing wrong. You know, I thought about this. Let me just show you two or three things about her. Number one, I thought about this. She was found in her sin. She was found in her sin. If the story is true, and I believe that it probably is, she was found in her sin that day. Now, I thought about what the Bible said this in Numbers chapter number 32 and verse number 23. It says, and be sure your sins will find you out. If you was here on Wednesday night, I preached out of 2 Samuel chapter number 12. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Our sin will find us out. We live in a society today, and I taught this morning in my Sunday school class, and I'm actually going to next Sunday night, I'm going to deal with that. I may even deal with it Sunday morning. I'm just praying about it. But I'm going to deal with what I taught about in there. And there is an attack. Now, if you die on me right here, you just have to die on me. But there is an attack today on the way that God created man and woman. Yeah, ma'am, Brother Jonathan. Now, I'm trying to be nice. I told the students in my class this morning that I drank an 8-ounce cup of bad attitude before I come to class this morning. They made me wash it out with water a while ago. But there is an attack on the way God created man and woman today. Amen. God created male and female. That's what he created. And God created me a man. If God had intended, amen, I might just preach a while right here. I feel a mean streak as wide as the Spaghetti Junction in Atlanta coming on right now. If God had intended for me to be a woman, he'd have made me a woman. And when this stop society today that's demon possessed and full of hell tries to pump and indoctrinate in our young people to change how God made them, they're saying this: God made a mistake and created you wrong. God never made a mistake. If I had a boy walked in my house and said he was a girl, if I had a girl walk in my house and said she was a boy, you say, well, what would you do? They would no longer live in my house. I will not condone that lifestyle. This lady right here was caught and found in her sin. And I'm going to tell you something. This was a day when sin was hid. We're living in a day when sin is not hid. You just do as you please, and we're supposed to accept that. No, I'm not going to accept that. It's against the Word of God. But she was found in her sin. The problem is this today. She had a repentant heart. People today does not. She had a repentant heart. We'll see it. People today does not. And be sure your sins will find you out. You say, well, preacher, I'll hide it from this one and I'll hide it from that one. Hear me and hear me well. You may hide it from me. You may hide it from your spouse. You may hide it from your children. But there's one that you'll never hide it from. And that is God Almighty. He sees everything you look at. He sees everything you watch. He hears every conversation you have. He reads every text message you send. She was found in her sin. I thought about this. The sin was very personal. The Bible said this in 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Boy, that's still good preaching to young people today. Well, that's still good preaching to young people today. Flee fornication. It's still right. Amen. We might not need a building program time. I'm done today. We might turn it into a fellowship hall. It's still right for a young lady to walk down the aisle with a white dress on, and it means something today. It's still right for a young man to be a virgin when he gets married. I said a virgin. I said a virgin. I said a virgin this morning when he gets married. It's still right. It's still right. That the Bible said this. It's good for man not to touch a woman. Somebody help the preacher this morning. That's right. It's very personal. He said, flee fornication. And goes on to say this. Every sin that man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. I thought about this. She's found in her sin. The sin was very personal. The situation, though, was very public. The situation was very public. And I thought about this. The sorrow was very perplexing. It's very evident in her life she was sorrowful for what she had done. It's very evident that once she meets the Master, she was sorrowful for it. Number one, she was found in her sin. Number two, I'm headed to the last point. Maybe y'all say amen on it. Number two, she was fooled by herself. She's not only found in her sin, but she was fooled by herself. This lady probably had in her mind that she could just live her life in a life of sin and nothing would ever become of it. She was fooled by herself. She was fooled. You know, that's the way Satan does today. He fools us. That we go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3. Satan will cause you to question the Word of God. Well, here's one. Here's one. Forsake not, Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together with believers. Are you with me? Well, preacher, do I really have to go to church Sunday night and Wednesday? No, you really don't have to do nothing. But if you want to live a life pleasing to God, you'll be faithful to the house of God. If you want God's blessings, I'm preaching good this morning. If you want God's blessings on your life, you'll be faithful to the house of God. forsake not. And here's what Satan says. Well, you went Sunday morning, so that's really all you need. You know, Satan will never tell you not to go to church. Are you with me? You went Sunday morning, so that's all right. There's no need. You got your weekly fix. Leslie and I yesterday, we just took some time and went and rode around. I don't know if y'all ever do that or not. If you don't, you ought to do it sometimes. They steal dirt roads in Allegheny County, man. We rode down them dirt roads yesterday and rode up on top of the mountain. And man, it was just so relaxing. Phone didn't work part of the time, praise God. Didn't even turn the radio on. Rolled the window down for about 2 minutes with Brother Matt on the top of Saddle Mountain yesterday. It was cold. Rolled it back up. Y'all with me? We just rode around and we was talking about some people. And here's what I said. I said the problem with a lot of people is this. In our area, I'm headed somewhere. I hope you'll stay with me. In our area, here's the problem with a lot of people. They go to church Sunday morning, Brother Josh, because that's just what we do. It's just what we do here. We go to church on Sunday mornings. They've been brought up, we met younger people. I said they've been brought up to go to church on Sundays. It's what they've been brought up to do. So when they get out of their home, when they get out from underneath their parents, they still go on Sunday morning, but they forget about the rest of it just because, Brother Scotty, we've been taught we're supposed to go to church on Sunday. So down here in the South, we go to church on Sunday. Are you with me? But they don't think they need it any other time. They don't think they need God any other time. As long as they go on Sunday morning, hey, it's all right to go out on Saturday night and get drunk and go to church on Sunday morning, half hungover, and raise your hand and say amen. No, it ain't all right. It ain't all right. And hear me well. Woe unto the man that puts strong drink to his neighbor's lips. She was fooled by herself. Herself fooled her into thinking what she was doing was right. Let me tell you what yourself will do to you and myself will do to me. It will fool us into thinking. We will justify sin. We'll justify. A man will say this in his mind. You say, how do you know this? Because I've dealt with this and people that I've talked to down through the years. Say this in his mind. Well, my wife didn't show me the attention that she needed to show me, and my needs had to be met. Well, where's that at in the Bible? Where's that at in the Bible? A lady will say, well, you know what? My husband didn't talk to me the way that he should. He didn't tell me he loved me enough. He didn't brag on me enough. So some heathen down at the job place. Yeah, man, Brother Jonathan, you're preaching well. And I needed my needs met. You're fooled by yourself. She was found in her sin because she was fooled by herself. She was fooled by herself. Ain't nobody, well, some of you men would say amen right now. You know, let me tell you one of the worst things that ever happened to marriage besides Satan? Hallmark. Hallmark. You say, why? Because of the way that they dramatize. You know women. Dramatize. You know women, don't you? You pray, you really want to shout on that drama word. Josh found some medication for Tanya. It's called Dramamine. He said he gave her 3 of them the other night and she slept for 2 days. True story, when she calls me, she's holding a cup that says DQ on it when it comes up, and it don't stand for Dairy Queen, it stands for Drama Queen. Women's drama. And they build all of this up. You'll come tonight because you know that your mama will roll over in her grave and whoop you if you ain't on your place when you're supposed to be church. But listen, they dramatize everything, and Hollywood builds a false sense of what marriage is supposed to be.
Listen to me, you're not always going to be on a honeymoon. There's going to be times when you have disagreement. You say, me and my spouse never have a disagreement. God bless me, sign my Bible when I get done preaching. We don't have disagreements either, bless God. We have fight. I said this the other Sunday. The only reason I'm so good at sheetrock, doing sheetrock work, it's because I have to keep the holes patched up in our house where she throws stuff at me all the time. Now listen to me. And what the devil does is will get into your mind as a married person and say, well, you know what? That lady down there at the job would treat you a whole lot better. You'll be fooled by yourself and you'll find yourself in sin one day. She was fooled by herself, but she was found, or she was found in her sin, but she was fooled by herself. She's fooled about the power of sin. And one of the worst things we can say is this today, I can handle it. Let's take time. You don't want to, but if we could, we'd take time and go to Judges chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. And look at the life of Samson, the strongest man that ends up dying a martyr to sin. Why? Because he's fooled about the power of sin. If we had time, we'd go to Joshua chapter number 7. We could read a story by a man by the name of Achan that took of the accursed thing. And when he was stoned to death, his wife and children stood with him, and they were stoned to death also. The pain of sin. We could talk about, she was fooled about the poverty of sin. You know, I wrote this down. I heard it said years ago. Matter of fact, I think Lester Roloff was the one that made this statement first. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay. And it will keep you longer than you want to stay. If we could load the vans up today, and those that wouldn't fit in them would all follow us, and we could drive to the Surrey County Detention Center, and we could walk inside the Surrey County Detention Center and ask those men and women sitting in there, did you really think it would bring you this far? I guarantee you they would say no. What happened? They was fooled about the poverty of sin. You remember that story in Luke 16? I'm about done. You remember that story in Luke 16? That prodigal son that took all that he had and went to the far country and spent all. And the Bible said this, when he come to himself, he was in a hog pen. He was in a hog. Eating the hogs and eating the slop from the hog pen. He had to be hungry. Eating the slop from the hog pen. When he came to himself and he said, how many hired servants does my father have? And you know the story, he ends up getting out of the hog pen and he goes back to his father's house and his father's standing there waiting on him. The poverty of sin. Sin will take you so much further than you want to go. There's so many homes today that's busted into a million pieces. Why? Because they was fooled by the power of sin and the poverty of sin. They was fooled by it. I can handle it. I can do this. Let me tell you something that's interesting about that prodigal son. Nowhere will you find that he went looking for his son. But when his son came to himself, his son came back to where he was at. If we're not careful in our evangelism of knocking on doors, we'll go against the prodigal father's theology on this. He never went and tried to find him. Let me tell you the reason why. You can go search for them all you want to and beg them to come back all you want to, but until they come to themselves, they'll never come back. But when he came to himself, he looked back and he realized this. Down there at the Father's house, there's still food. There's still something to drink. There's still a place to sleep. And here's what the devil will do. The devil will fool you about the house of God and get you out of the house of God. And one day you'll be sitting out there in the world and you'll look back and go, well, you know what? Up there on the hill, the lights are still on. Buildings are being built. God's continuing to bless. You'll have to come to yourself. She's fooled by herself. She was found in her sin. Let me show you this, number three, and we'll go home. She was forgiven by the Savior. She was forgiven. I preached all morning to get right here. She was forgiven by the Savior. Look what the Bible said. Look what the Bible said. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Verse number 11. Go and sin no more. Had she been in a mess? Yep, she had. And if the truth was to be told about some setting in this room today, you could probably realize and even sympathize with this lady right here. Because there was a time in your life that you lived the same life that she just lived. And there was a time in your life that you was found in your sin. There was a time in your life that you was fooled within yourself. Oh, but aren't you glad that the story does not end right there? Aren't you glad that the story does not end with a bunch of Pharisees pointing fingers at her, saying this and saying that? Oh, but there was somebody else that was there that day besides them. And it was a man by the name of Jesus Christ Himself. And you know what Jesus did that day? Jesus looked at her and saw her in her condition. Didn't condemn her. He didn't point a finger at her. But He loved her and forgave her for the life that she had lived. I thought about this. Do you care to come start playing softly? I thought about this. That day, she found grace for the guilty. There was grace for the guilty. There was grace. They said they took her in the very act of it. There was grace for the guilty. A lot of times, I need somebody to help me right here, okay? A lot of times we go to church and we think that we're here and the world is here. We'll come in and we'll have our suit on, Brother Randy. We'll have our nice clothes on. We'll have our nice premium R.L. Allen Long Primer 52 calfskin Bible in our hand. In case y'all didn't know, I like Bibles. I know exactly what it was. We'll have our nice 35th anniversary edition, limited edition, only 150 of them made. Church Bible in our hand, red letter edition, friend. Are you with me? Our nice church calfskin Schofield. Paul's leather. We'll have our nice Paul's leather. That's a Paul's leather front row, man. He needs to give me a free Bible. We'll have our Bible in our hand. And we'll think that we're better than everybody out there. But the truth of the matter is this. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And the truth of the matter is this. If we've broke one of the law, we've broke it all. We want to say, well, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. But the truth of the matter is this. I'm a wicked, vile, rotten sinner. And so are you before you holler amen to me. But aren't you glad for the day when we was found guilty of our sin, because every one of us was. Boy, we was guilty. That night at 16 years old, I was guilty of the accusations that had been brought against me in God's court of law. I'm telling you, I was wicked. I deserved to die and go to hell. Oh, but aren't you thankful? I sat in a courtroom one day with a gentleman that used to come here to church. He don't live in this state anymore. He is still in church. He's still doing good. Thank God for that. He's a tremendous help to his preacher now. But I sat in the courtroom with him one day, Brother Robert, and I went as a character witness, the only time that I've ever done that. I went as a character witness that day, and I sat in the courtroom, and they read the things, and Brother Jonathan, he was guilty of everything that had been read that day. Every bit of it. They had video of it. They had an audio recording of it. They had video of it all. It was all, he was guilty of everything that they had charged him with. Everything had been recorded. He was guilty of it that day. They read everything out that day. A few of us talked, and the judge was sitting on his stand. I'll never forget this. And he began to read his sentence out. And he could have got, it was like 30 or 35 years, and he ended up getting like 3 years. And he could have got this, and he got this. And boy, all of that penalty was reduced down to hardly nothing. And that judge looked at him that day, and he said, Mr., and he called his last name. He said, what you need to remember is today I showed you grace. You experienced grace today instead of receiving what you could have received. Hear me and hear me well. July the 20th, 1994, thank God, when I bowed down on my knees, an unworthy, hell-deserving sinner, I didn't deserve the mercies of God. I didn't deserve the grace of God. Oh, but I sure am thankful. There was a man named Jesus that gave his life freely and shed his blood. And that night, the judge said, you know what you're going to get today? You're going to get grace. Oh, she experienced grace for the guilty. If you'll go back in your mind and remember where you used to be and the life you used to live and what you used to do and think about where you're at today, what God has brought you through, how God is blessing you, you'll have to say, there's been grace for the guilty. But I thought about this. She found compassion for the condemned. I told you I preached all morning to get here. She found compassion for the condemned. The law said she was to die. It's what the law said. She was condemned to death. For the wages, listen to this, for the wages of sin is death. You know what you and I, you know what our penalty was? Our penalty was death. Man, some of y'all still asleep this morning. Or you've reached a point where you forgot where God's brought you from. I'm telling you, we was condemned. We deserved to die and go to hell. But aren't you glad for Jesus that showed compassion? I thought about this. She was forgiven by her Savior because she found grace for the guilty. She found compassion for the condemned. We're going to say this. She found hope for the hopeless that day. She found hope for the hopeless that day. Hope, that just sounds real good for the hopeless. She's in a hopeless condition, man. That's going to kill this woman. That's what they're going to do. That's going to kill her that day. They brought her before Jesus and was going to kill her that day. She probably walked away singing, I just started living. I found me a brand new life. She found hope for the hopeless that day. I don't know everybody's testimony in this room. I know several though, but I don't know everybody's. But some of y'all that's sitting in this room today was in a very bad shape. In the world's eyes, you was in a hopeless condition. But aren't you glad there was a Savior came to where you is at and you found hope in a hopeless condition? There is hope today. You said, preacher, I walked in here today and everything that you preached about. Preacher, that really just about sums up my life. Preacher, that really, male or female, preacher, that really sums up my life. Boy, I've had a miserable life. Hear me this morning. Hear me. If you don't hear nothing else I'm saying to you, hear this. There's hope. Preacher, I walked in here and I just don't know if I can keep going another mile. There's hope. Preacher, I don't know if I can take another step in a spiritual walk. There's hope. There's hope for the hopeless. I read this text, and I try, when I read a lot of times, I try to sit there, Miss Jen. I tried to sit there that day. I tried to get me an RC and a moon pie and pull up a 5-gallon bucket and just sit there that day. You're from up north. You don't know what an RC and a moon pie is. I tried to get an unsweet tea and a bagel. I'm sorry. I tried to get a glass jar of Coca-Cola and some peanuts. Somebody give me a witness right there, Bud Charles. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? A 5-gallon bucket, and watch everything that happened right there. Watch it all. I don't think she came willingly. I don't. I think they probably forced her to come. I mean, they may even have made her. They may have physically made her come. I'm not going to make you get in front of everybody. She's about passed out. She's had a panic attack. He's fixing to find hope for a hopeless situation right there. Medic! You hear me? They could have possibly forced her to come. But once she got there and heard this man by the name of Jesus begin to speak to her. Maybe you come this morning just because somebody just about forced you to. Or you felt that I have to go. Well, hear me. There's hope for you today. Amen. You don't have to leave the same way you came. There's a God that loves you. There's a God that'll help you. There's a God that'll change your life. There's a God that'll take your hopeless situation and put hope in it. There's a God that'll take your guilty situation and show you grace. There's a God that even though the law may condemn you, will show you compassion today. Amen. And you can leave here changed than the way you came. Father.